Roethlisberger with an empty backfield. He's in the gun, seventh play of this drive. Saints lead it 31-28. Roethlisberger takes the snap, drops back, three-man rush, throws over the middle. That ball is caught across the 40 to 45. Ball is out! Ball is out! The ball is out! The Saints have recovered it! The ball is out!
What's up, Houdat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol Podcast. I'm your host, Jeff, and I'm not drunk. As you can see, I'm fighting back from a cold, feeling better today. I don't want any kind of alcohol to set me back on the recovery, because I got a big weekend.
Yes, you do.
Yep, I'm heading down to the mighty, mighty New Orleans to watch the Pelicans play against the Rockets, and then also the Saints play against the Panthers.
Yay! So,
I've got a lot of drinking and yelling to do, so I gotta save my voice, which is why this week's show is gonna be short, sweet, to the point. Anyway, the Saints have won the NFC South and have now locked up the number one seed in the NFC playoff picture. The last game of the regular season still has to be played. Thankfully, I get to be there. And we get to expect Teddy Bridgewater to show up. And I used his right name for the first time in a long time. But we'll go back to calling him Terry. And if you don't know why, then go back to the OK Saints podcast, Dome Patrol podcast crossover show from the beginning of the season, and you'll hear why.
Atlanta, greatest crossover in history.
That's right. Atlanta is fixing as many potholes as they can in preparation for the Super Bowl because they don't want Saints fans to feel at home when we get there, especially since it was announced that the NFC team is going to use the home team locker room in the metal asshole. And then because of Christmas and the timing of this week's show, we are recording on a Friday morning at 11:30 now, not 10.
I thought it was 10, right?
We did record at 10, and somehow something happened. So we're re-recording, and it's going to be what we call recorded live, with little to no editing and probably a little shorter than normal. So put your seatbelts on, keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all times, and enjoy the show. Jason, welcome to the show. Micro Machines, not the real thing. What's your number?
Thanks, John Machida. So for the first recording, I was a 2.5. I think now I'm about a 5.2. Yeah, screwdrivers, they'll do it.
So while I'm trying to conserve my voice, I have a feeling you're going to talk enough for both of us.
Look, I'll be all right. I'm saving my talking points for my final thought.
Just don't be too hungover for one this weekend.
I'm not. I still got tomorrow to recover.
All right. Damon, welcome to the show. How you feeling?
Thank you. I'm feeling great, Jeff. Let's get on with this.
All right. Let's all right. We're going to, because it's Friday and it's been so long and everybody's already talked enough about it, we're going to do a quick game recap.
Saints won. Woohoo! Okay, next up.
There were a lot of Steelers fans there.
Yeah. Oh, that's Steelers fans traveled great, you know. Hats off to him, but that was annoying. And at one point in the game, I was so dreading, you know, having to walk out with all those assholes.
It was very loud because, I mean, look, I know we talked about it. Like, not so much this year, I feel like, hasn't been so bad. But I know in prior years, some big teams have come in. But the Steelers always, they're the best traveling team in the league. And when you look at, you're an AFC team, you only get to go to New Orleans every 8 years, you're going to go to New Orleans. So I get it. But it was also a pretty pricey ticket. So with all the extra, you know, Saints fans, they have their tickets and they have extra tickets they're going to sell. They can make enough money to pay for their playoff tickets, and that's what they did this weekend. But it was very annoying because the replay of the game, I saw the last 7 minutes last night of the game, and when they blocked the kick, the loudness of the cheers was, I mean, I'm sure
a little too loud.
It was very loud. And I know during the game, I'm sure I heard it, but I was just frustrated because we got the blocked kick and I was distracted and whatnot. But to hear it on TV, like, it was fucking loud on TV.
When I heard it watching the game live, and I heard this, I thought it was just a lot of Saints fans screaming, like, "No,
oh no, oh no, oh no."
It was,
it was loud. Like, Saints fans, like, we were loud. We were loud that whole game. It was a loud fucking game. So, you know, Saints fans that were there were good. And look, this isn't going to happen. And the playoffs are going to be totally different. It's going to be all Saints fans. It's going to be loud as fuck going forward.
Well, look, that last 2 minutes after we stopped their blocked punt and we scored, and then, you know, they had the ball, that was the loudest that I've heard the Dome in a while, man. I mean, it was Saints fans stood up and were making noise.
It was very loud.
A lot of it had to do with the obviously everything that the game was being played for us, for home field advantage. And also, I think, because it was that first home game since Thanksgiving.
Right, it's been so long. That's crazy. Right. I just say that, but God, the fact that we didn't have a home game for so long.
The fans were bloodthirsty.
I was bloodthirsty. Yeah, I didn't drink any blood, but I was bloodthirsty.
Did you have a Bloody Mary?
Ooh, I didn't, because the game was at 3:30. If the game was at noon, I'd have had a Bloody or two.
All right. All right, then. I thought the other thing at the end of the game when Sheldon Rankins did the tackle strip, one of my thoughts was, that's how Minnesota was supposed to end last year.
Such
very similar situation, same side of the field too, right?
just such a huge punch. And we talked about Sheldon Rankins earlier. Like, he's borderline All-Pro. Like, I know obviously Aaron Donald's the best interior lineman, but the Rankins being so good is such a huge part of this defense. And he finds a way to just make plays at the right time, like make plays when you have to. You know, like, this is what we thought Cedric Ellis was going to be, and he wasn't.
Yeah.
Sheldon Rankins is that guy.
And he's got 8 sacks on the year already. You talk about a future in him.
Right. It's good because he was the first round pick, we can pick up his 5th-year option, which is going to be cheaper than, look, if he's a free agent, he's getting a shit ton of money. So we are going to get that extra year from him being the first round pick, the 5th-year option. It's still going to be like $7 or $8 million, but whatever, Loomis math. But no, look, he panned out, and it's great to fucking see. It's awesome.
Would you like take Cam Jordan, Sheldon Rankins, and DeMario Davis? I mean, is that the core of the pass rush at this point?
Well, but I mean, now look, DeMario Davis did have a massive sack towards the end of the game. I caught the end last night, and he had a huge sack. And he has been huge for this defense.
Right.
I mean, he has been what Vilma was, or even better. Like, he is awesome. But the fact that we get like Okafor. But look, the fact that we didn't know what Okafor was going to be, and Okafor is his normal self after his Achilles injury. Like, that's crazy. And, you know, we had Davenport really come on, then he got hurt, but now he's coming back. Like, we got great pass rushers. We got great interior linemen. Our front line is huge. It's absolutely huge for this team.
Yeah.
Dude. You know, like, and look, Pittsburgh threw everything at us. They didn't run the ball. They knew we had a good run defense. They didn't run the ball. They threw it. And look, they threw a lot. But this is, if you think about Roethlisberger and Juju and Antonio Brown, that's the best trio of quarterback and two receivers that we're going to see for the rest of the year. I mean, you could say Minnesota with Diggs and Thielen and Cousins, but I mean, Cousins ain't proven shit, you know? You know, their season was on the line. They threw everything at us because they needed this win. And yet somehow we found a way to win it.
Life finds a way.
That's what good teams do, right, Damon?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, that's the last, again, when we got the ball back, we were down. And when we got on offense, I said, look, championship teams win games like this. It's what they do. They drive down there and score. And God knows we have, you know, with Drew Brees, we have literally one of the best quarterbacks in history. And that's what they did. They drove down there and scored. And unlike in years past, when the Steelers got the ball, I said, okay, championship team, stop other teams here. And that's what we did, you know. Even that 2009 defense, which wasn't great in yardage, you know, the turnovers to end games, that's what a championship team does. And that's what we, that's what the Saints did. I mean, that it lifted my spirit after the last three games when all we've been hearing is how, you know, we're in a slump or we're not, you know, not hitting on all cylinders. So.
Well, yeah, it's kind of like not every game is going to be 44-10.
Right, 100% right. But even though that's not how we remember it. Again, we all remember 2009 as blowouts, you know, like the Arizona game, you know, 45-7 or whatever it was, you know. But if you go back and look at those games and rewatch them, and I have them all on DVD, you know, all the commemorative stuff, and those games were closer than I remembered when I'm watching. I'm going, oh, that wasn't, I thought.
Yeah,
you know?
Right. I mean, you know? Barely beat the Redskins, barely beat a shitty Rams team. Like, we needed a Courtney Roby kick return to beat
the Rams. Right, you know,
Washington game, remember that one? The meet you around.
I said the Redskins, right?
Yeah.
Are they not in Washington anymore?
You said Washington. It could be, you know, Seattle, Washington. It could have been that.
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But good teams find a way to win. That's what championship teams do. You know,
you rise to the occasion, right?
100%.
And the team responded to not only the situation, but the fans. You talk about the loudness, the noise, the being home. You don't think the defense didn't get jacked for that? Oh, one thing I wanted to bring up.
Go for it. What did you bring up?
When was it Antonio Brown did Choppa style dance?
Oh, yeah. No, he did Teddy's little motorbike. That Terry's been doing in the locker room. Yeah, Antonio Brown did that.
Yeah. What was...
I don't know. Look, Antonio Brown was a bad man this week.
He's a bad man every week.
He's a bad man every week, but, you know, he's had his ups and downs, but, I mean, he played strong, and look, I know there was one of his last touchdowns. It's like, what the fuck was Kirk Coleman doing? And Kirk Coleman sucks. But, I mean, look...
But he's going to start this week.
Yeah, he should. Good. Right. Starting against the former team, good. But look, like we said, that Pittsburgh offense with Roethlisberger and those two receivers, that's the best wide receiver combo in the league. We're not going to face that again. And look, we faced it, and yet somehow we won the game. You know, we took the best that they had. Their season was on the line. They had to win this game. Now, they can still make it in the playoffs if Cleveland beats Baltimore and they win, but this was the game Pittsburgh had to win, and that's what happened like last week, like Carolina. They had to win that game or their season was over. That's two straight weeks that teams have had to throw everything at us, and yet we won both games. That's, you know, that's the championship caliber. Like, you find a way to win a game when everything's against you. Like, we're not going to face an offense with at least a passing offense like the Steelers did this week. We're not going to see that again. No. Maybe some soda.
And our secondary, if you want to say, was exploited or whatever. Roethlisberger is so great at extending plays, man. And watching this game, he does not get rattled in the pocket. You know, I mean, our defense, our linemen, they were getting to him. They were making him move off his spot. But it doesn't rattle him. He's one of the best at that. And look, you can't cover. Deion Sanders can't cover anybody for, you know, 5, 6, 7 seconds. I mean, that's, you know, it's the 1, 2, 3 bop. And Pittsburgh does Roethlisberger especially does a great job at extending plays, and that's why, yeah, they got yardage, you know, because despite what Cam Jordan thinks, I mean, the man is a Hall of Fame quarterback. He really is.
Yeah.
He's one of the best. So that's why we got a little bit exposed. I don't see any other quarterback going down, you know, the road here that we might face that can do that.
Yeah.
Not like him.
No.
I'm not worried. It's the NFL. You give up yards to, you know, today's NFL.
The key is you make the plays you have to. You force two fumbles. You stop them on the fake punt. Even though their guy thought that was one of the best things ever, was that when he thought he got it.
Right.
Because, like, in the stands, you know, the play happens. I'm like, okay, yeah, he's a yard short. And then all of a sudden this dude comes out and he's celebrating and this dude is celebrating. Like, right, wait, okay, what the hell is this?
Right. What are you seeing that I'm not? Am I missing something?
Drop the ball, because you got it.
Right.
Like, what the fuck?
No, that was good. That was
great. It was awesome.
And look, I don't look badly on Tomlin for calling that play. I think it was, it was a good risk reward situation. You know, you have to do it. It wasn't a bad play. They did not lose the game because of that call.
No.
But I am tired. I'm sure we all saw it during the week. Every talking head and everything was talking about some controversial calls.
Yeah. Now, at this point, it seems like the NFL, conspiracy theory in me says the NFL, they're not fixing games, but I do think that they, we kind of bereaved on it, are asking the refs to maybe keep games a little more interesting. Because that's the only thing that can explain some of the ludicrous no calls or ludicrous calls that you're seeing at certain times. Now, the other side of it, if you don't want to be a conspiracy theorist, is that this is the second, the end of the regular season, going into the playoffs, you're going to start you're going to start letting the defenses play a little more, except for a couple of times with PIs on it. But you know what I mean? Like, you're going to start letting people play. So you're going to have a lot more no calls in those situations.
Right. Well, especially with going into the playoffs, there's such thing as playoff officiating. We all hear about it, They definitely keep their flags in their pocket more often than not in the playoffs. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And look, we benefit from some against the Steelers. They benefit.
No doubt. Look,
that wasn't the game because it was kind of like a quid pro quo, right? We got a favor, they got a favor. We got a favor, they got a favor.
Right. And look, if you go on message boards, okay, there 32 teams. There's 13 teams, if you go on the message board after game, they lost because of the officials. The officials suck and screwed it to them. Even though during that game, I think we had 9 penalties for 110 yards and they had 6 penalties for 89 yards. Okay, so we threw had more flags on us than they did. But obviously, look, all flags on equal, on different, fourth down means a lot more. But they fumbled the ball twice.
Right.
Went for
Wait,
a fake punt. I mean, right. It had nothing to do with the officiating. Go screw yourself.
Yeah. And they didn't realize we brought back Teddy Ginn. Teddy Ballgame made all the difference in our week.
Yep, he made that Kirkwood drop that was followed by.
Oh God!
Almost the same play, like, right? It was almost the same play. Yeah. Where they were like, no, you know what? Let me show you how it's done.
God, when he dropped it, it's like, oh, come on. You got to be fucking kidding me. And then right behind him, Ginn caught it. And, he was open, too. There wasn't really a defender around him. It was like...
Yep. Now, our friends over on the UK Saints podcast, they mentioned the same play this week on their show. And they were, talked about, because of his, he's a rookie and he was... You don't expect that much of him and all that. I expect somebody to catch that.
Right. You got to catch the ball. You're wide
open. You got to catch that. In the NFL, no matter how you got there, you got to catch that. I mean, Pierre Thomas was an undrafted rookie or whatever we're going to call it.
Yeah, he was an undrafted free agent.
And he was one of the best screen pass running backs you ever saw and one of the greatest Saints we ever had. Okay, Kirkwood, you got to catch an open pass.
Well, look, he's definitely going to get all the snaps this week.
You're gonna get Teddy balls,
right?
Terry
he's
balls.
For all the idiots who still play fantasy football in Week 17, he might win you a championship.
All right, that's all for the game. Unless y'all have one last thing to say about it, but we're gonna move on. We're gonna skip. We're gonna skip. Look at him tweets and look at him grams. Gotcha.
Yeah.
I didn't ask for them this week. Plus, it's a shortened week, and we're over. Okay. Anyway, but we do have a couple of items that we probably should cover in fake news.
Am I making this presentation directly to the American people, with the media present, which is an honor to have you this morning, because many of our nation's reporters and folks will not tell you the truth. Russia is a ruse. It's all fake news. It's all a ruse. Not true. It's all fake news. Russia is a ruse. Fake news.
because so much of the news is fake. One of the reasons I'm here today.
Haven't had this segment in a while. So the first thing is Ben Watson has announced that he's retiring at the end of the season, so I'm going to go ahead and say that's going to be February. When he's going to
head out on top. He's going to start his career with the Super Bowl with the Pats, and he's going to end his career with the Super Bowl with the Saints.
Very good.
And I love the fact that he's such a good dude, and really, like, you know, he had his best season ever was that last season here with the Saints before he got some money from Baltimore, and then we let him go, and we signed Fleener for more money, who did nothing. It's like, fuck, we should have just kept Watson around. It's a shame it didn't work out back then, but you know what? It's going to work out now.
Yep.
And hopefully he's got a good retirement because he's getting ready to have twins. I think he's already got 5 kids.
And
he's getting
twins.
2 more.
Yeah, he's a great guy. And the other thing that it made me think about was how much of a bigger crisis our tight end position this offseason is going to be. That's clearly the number one position.
It's going to be a spot, and whether it be free agency or the draft, we're definitely going to address that position.
Yeah. Or both.
I mean, we don't have a lot of picks with all the trades we made. So I think we signed somebody free agent-wise. Hopefully it's not too much money. Just give them a chance to work with Breeze, and stats are going to be nuts. But we're definitely going to sign somebody for sure.
Yeah. All right. The next piece of fake news was what we need to congratulate Mark Ingram for his touchdown against the Steelers, breaking the all-time Saints rushing touchdown record that was previously held by Deuce McAllister. So big congratulations to Mark.
Okay, so he got the TDs, but he's still short on yardage. He doesn't have much left to go.
I mean, no, I think he needed like around 800 coming into the season, and he has 600 something yards now. So he's, I believe, under 200 yards he needs. But he won't get that this year.
I would assume we're not going to play him a ton this week.
No, you're right.
For the playoffs.
I mean, even if we played him a ton, he's not going to get there.
No,
he would have to sign with the Saints and return and get it in like 1 or 2 next year.
Right, next year.
Well, that's the key. That's a recruiting point. Say, hey, look, you can be the all-time leading rusher for a franchise once you come back, guys.
That's worth $2 million right there.
Sure.
If he would have played the first 4 games of the year, I'm sure he'd have gotten it.
You know, if you're Mark Ingram, and let's say go into your free agency and whatnot, and it is, say, a $2 million difference between what the Saints are offering you and what somebody else is, say, like even the Panthers are offering you, I would think Mark Ingram might be the kind of guy who's going to stay, give the home team discount.
I mean, I think he likes it here, but you'd be naive to think, like, $2 million,
right.
That's a big enough number for him to go.
Especially since he didn't really get paid on his second contract.
Yeah.
You know, he's making nice money, but he didn't get paid.
Nice money for a running back, even though, look, running backs don't get a lot of money.
Well, but they're, you know, that might be trending upward lately. Who knows?
Maybe, but at this point, he's also, what, 29 years old?
Right. I don't know what the market's going to be for.
But, I mean, because... I think we could offer him 3 years, $5 million per.
Oh no, that's what he's making now. Yeah.
Well, he signed a 4-year, $16 million deal the last time, but he was also a lot younger. But now that he's 29, like, I know he doesn't have a wear and tear on his body, but if we offer him 3 for $15 or 3 for $20,
he's taking three for twenty. Yeah,
he'd definitely take 3 for $20.
Well,
but
especially if 30 is the cutoff for running backs. They don't like to pay running backs over 30.
Right,
you know?
Right. So, like, this is the last time he's going to, like, nobody's going to give him, like, a 5-year deal for $30 million because nobody's going to give him a long-term deal. But if you give him 3 years for a lot, especially if and when we win the Super Bowl this year, like, we could win another one next year. Like, he can win.
If Drew doesn't retire.
Oh, if we win the Super Bowl,
he's not retired. No,
yeah,
we talked about this.
He's got another year at $20-something million.
He ain't passing up 25.
He's going to retire after next year.
All right. The other fake news is Mr. William Lutz and company. They also set a record for the Saints, right? What was it?
Most consecutive field goals made. They broke the record by one until it was blocked. So but even that, you know, that shouldn't count against him. But anyway, I'm sure it does. It does. But yeah, congratulations to him. We've said it all year long that William Lutz, you know, is just money in the bank, man. Don't worry about him going out there. Love Will Lutz. And the whole, you know, the long snapper, Morstead, they all do a good job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Special teams are no longer a worry.
They got better ever since, when was it, Damon? They got rid of, what's his name?
Greg McMahon?
Greg McMahon.
Special teams in general has been pretty top-notch.
Yep.
This year.
Yeah. So has defense. And mostly of the offense. It's interesting that you're saying, like, the Saints offense is out of the three is the one that's the more concerning.
but now playing in the zone, I mean, look, we scored 31 points again this week.
That's true.
That's enough to me. Like, I think our defense, if we score
31 points is a lot of points.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, you're right. All right, so there's nothing concerning. All right, and the last fake news, say it real quickly, is the home schedule, away schedule, or at least the home teams, away teams, was announced, and it looks like both Dallas teams, I think the only notable thing is that both Dallas teams are going to be, or both Texas teams are going to be playing in New Orleans, and so therefore our away games is going to be Tennessee. I was trying to see what the others were.
I think Chicago.
Yeah.
We had the Rams, and we played the NFC West. So I think
Seattle, the Rams.
At Seattle, at the Rams. Those are going to be tough.
Yeah. Nah, the Rams aren't going to be tough.
Not necessarily, but they are a good team.
Right.
The arena, not so much, but the team's
right,
good.
Right. Playing the stadium impact, I'm saying.
Okay, but look, we've already discussed.
Yeah.
Like, so Tennessee is where we want to go next year.
Yeah, and then home teams would be Cardinals, 49ers, Texans, Colts, Cowboys. A lot of easy teams. Or, again, if this year's record is any indication.
And it's not, but that's okay.
Right. Well, then we won't say anything more about it. We'll talk more about the schedule whenever we get the date.
Yeah, we have plenty of time to talk
about it. In the offseason and all that kind of stuff. So let's get into pick'ems. It's all about the king, you fall like the rest. Your failure is my success. It's all about control. Will you make it? I will deliver the pain, you can't take it. I'm in control.
Oh, boy. All right, Damon is probably very excited because he went 5-0 last week.
Yeah.
I went 4-1. Jeff went 2-3. So out of the three of us through week 16, Jeff, you were in first at 48-30. Damon is only two games behind at 46-32. Then I am a further three games behind at 43-35. And it's kind of crazy that if we'd have all bet these games in Vegas, we'd have won a lot of money. But Damon's been on a tear. Damon's 9-1 over his last 2 weeks.
Okay. And the larger league, Who Dat Fits is leading the pack, followed by Ryan Angier, Saints Fan UK, Life of Ty, and then me, Wheels, Damon, Christian Mino, Drew, Chris McGuire, Ash, Saints Europe, Jake, Fuck the Falcons, Big Easy Guy, Jean, Giovanni Turner, then Jason, Tom Ensign, DJ Z, Preston Allen, Bill Smith, Neil, Sans Hobbs, and then your 500 club is Davis Douglas, Gerald Boutte, and Mordecai, which means that still nobody is below 500.
No, none of those last three are below 500?
No, they're at 500.
Oh! Come on, we need somebody in the league bracket.
Nope.
All right, moving on to week 17. Some good games. A lot of these games, because the way the NFL likes it, they want all the games to matter and don't want anybody to quit. So a lot of the games have been moved to 3:30. The Saints are fortunate that our game doesn't matter, so our game is at noon. But we got a lot of games late. It was tough to find some good games. There's only a handful, but we'll start off. The Cleveland Browns, who are currently at 7-7-1, trying for a 500 record, travel to Baltimore to play the Ravens, who are coming off a nice win against the Chargers. The Ravens win. They win their division. They're in the playoffs. If they lose and Pittsburgh beats Cincinnati, then Pittsburgh wins the division and they're in. So Baltimore has a lot to play for. They've really become a running team with Lamar Jackson in there. But Cleveland has been hot. Baker Mayfield looks like the real deal. Greg Williams trying to get that job. This game is in Baltimore. Ravens favored by 5.5.
Look, it's a divisional game. So I don't think being on the road will really help. Like you said, Cleveland really wants to win. 5.5 is a lot to give up. I got to take the Browns.
I am also going to take the Browns because I think there's a there. You know, for them to get to have a winning record after being 1-31 over the last 2 years is pretty stunning. There's a lot of excitement around Cleveland, so I'm going with the Browns as well.
Well, I think in Baltimore's play, like even though Baltimore wins games and they have a lot to play for this week, and they can they'll probably win this game, they win close ones.
I agree with that. Right.
So,
right.
Yeah,
I'm on board.
Taking the points as well. Give me Cleveland.
All right. The Cleveland steamer. All right. Now I'll go with the game I had to fit in only because it was close and it's kind of relevant. The Shitlanta Falcons coming off a convincing win against Carolina, continuing to ruin their draft slot, travel to Tampa. The Bucks team who continues to lose. This could be Jameis Winston's last game.
Damn.
I don't know, right? In Tampa, the coach could still get fired. I mean, they sucked. I think DeSean Jackson's still hurting out. The scheme is in Tampa. The Bucks are getting a point at home.
Two shitty teams. I will predict the Falcons will continue the Falcon and hurt their draft choice. I think a couple of weeks ago they were in a position to get the second pick in the draft. Where now they'll finish out 7-9 and get a mid-team pick. So I'll take the Falcons.
Yeah, I think Tampa Bay is a shit show more so than Atlanta is. So Atlanta's got this.
I am going to take the Falcons as well because that's what they do. They fuck up their draft slot. All right, our next game, the Chicago Bears sitting there. If they win this week and the Rams lose, they can jump up and get a bye with the 2 seed. So at least for the first half, they're going to play for something. They travel to Minnesota to play a Vikings team who is coming on after firing their offensive coordinator. They've actually started to run the ball. They've won 2 games in a row. If they win, they're in. They have a lot to play for. The key is going to be, you know, like the Rams play the 49ers, and they're going to be playing at the same time, the three o'clock game. So if at halftime the Rams are up 20-0, then Chicago may decide to rest guys.
San Francisco's been playing tough. San Francisco,
they have. San Francisco's.
I do not think it'll be over at halftime. So
I don't either, but I think it's kind of reflected. I think it's reflective in the spread because Minnesota's favored by 4.5.
Yeah,
I think people just assume Rams are going to win, Chicago's going to quit, Minnesota's...
And Minnesota
favored by 4.5.
And that's what I think is going to happen. I'm going to take Minnesota because they're coming in with everything on the line.
Right, right. They still need to make the playoffs.
Right, and the Rams are... I think the Rams are going to be winning enough to the point where Chicago quits.
Well, I don't... You know, again, 4.5 points, that's a lot. Chicago isn't killing people. They have a their defense is their strength, not necessarily their offense. So again, I think, you know, they're definitely the better team. I think they would win, but I think it'll be under the 4.5 points.
All right. See, I think the Rams are overconfident, and I think Frisco is going to play them close. I think Frisco is going to play close or win, and Chicago is going to play to win, and the Bears are going to beat the Vikings.
All right.
Which could allow the Philadelphia Schmeagles to make it into the playoffs, which, whoa, watch out for the Eagles.
Nick Foles.
Nobody wants to play Nick Foles, even though he sucked for the first 3 weeks of this season.
He just played football in December.
Yeah, right. All right, and now we're moving on to our game of the week. It's a Sunday night game. We got flex. The winner is in the playoffs and possibly the division winner if Houston loses their game. You've got the Indianapolis Colts sitting there at 9-6. Really come on this year. Andrew Luck has been healthy and played really well. They've really hit it in the draft and finally fixed their defense. They travel to Tennessee. You play a Titans team who has played well over the last few weeks. Derrick Henry has won several fantasy championships. Marcus Mariota is dinged up, as is tradition, so it could be Blaine Gabbert. We don't really know at this point. But this game is in Nashville, a place that we're going to go to next year, and the Titans are getting 3 at home. I'll go first. Give me the Colts. I think the Colts are a better team, and I think they're going to cause some problems in the playoffs. Give me the Colts.
Yeah, the Colts are hot. In, since you bring up the whole Blaine Gabbert situation in Tennessee, you're foolish if you pick the Titans. I'm with the Colts.
Yeah, I know the rules always going with the home dog, but the Colts are the better team. Andrew Luck is playing great after a shaky start and, you know, missing a year and a half with injury. Give me the Colts.
Damon, you wouldn't pick against the Colts even if...
of course not.
They were giving away 30 points.
All right, and now our shitty game of the week.
Here we go! Piece of shit car. I got a piece of shit car. That fucking pile of shit never gets me very far.
My car's in. Which is in the shittiest division in the NFL that the Patriots have been fortunate enough to play in. You got the Miami Dolphins, who don't have a terrible record. They're only 7-8, but appears like they're ready to move on from Ryan Tannehill after this year. They travel to Buffalo to play a Bills team who's got 5 wins. Josh Allen playing pretty strong. You know, they're still growing. They got some injuries. Buffalo Mafia is going to be out in full force. This is the case of a South team traveling to the snow. Outdoors, this game is in Buffalo. Bills favored by 4.
I'll tell you this. I'm taking the points because what I've learned, and I don't want anybody to steal my strategy too much for next season, but
I won't. In
the shitty game, because it's 2 shitty teams and they play like shit the whole time, you always take the points, and 9 times out of 10 you win. I'm taking the points.
You know, that's a good strategy, Jeff. I'll follow you there. I'll take the points.
Damn, I need to make up ground, so I'm going the other way. I'm a believer in Josh Allen. Give me the Bills.
Yeah, this is pretty much what happened when the Jets and the Buffalo.
Yeah, when Jets and Buffalo play, no matter what happens, I'm going to lose.
So hopefully
I'm going to make sure to
Buffalo
never pick
plays, Pickham. Jason loses.
Right.
All right, that's all for Pickhams. Make sure you get them in, guys. Send them on Twitter. Sorry for the short week. But
we will not penalize you if... If you don't get them in before the games,
yeah. You
won't be penalized in terms of the percentage at the end.
All right. And so that's going to bring us into Saints preview. Where we've got, like I said, I'm going to be there this time, Carolina Panthers.
That's right. I almost feel bad because, like... 6 weeks ago, you're like, yeah, I'm going to the Carolina game. This is going to be bonk.
Six weeks ago, I wasn't planning on, I didn't know I was going to the game. I opened it as a Christmas present. So,
well, I know, but if I'd have told you 6 weeks ago, hey,
then you'd have ruined my Christmas.
This just would be a good game to go to. And it's not. It's a glorified preseason game now.
No, but
you're going to get Terry Bridgewater against Kyle Allen.
Which I'm excited to be able to see his first game, his first real game. As a thing in person. I'm excited to be in the dome to celebrate with the fans. I think the team is going to come into this, and the fans, this is going to be pretty much just like a party, kind of
just
an atmosphere. She's going to be like, whatever. You know, every time Teddy Bridgewater completes a pass, take a drink. You know, every time Kurt Wood catches something, take a drink. So, you know, we won't get drunk, but I think...
Well, remember like a few years ago that happened, and I got really drunk on, what was that? I think I was drinking... I'm doing vodka, and I went with the game with you, and at some point, like, I fell backwards onto the
grill. Yeah.
And then eventually, I came back and sat in my seat, and I sat in my seat for the rest of the game and did not get it.
Like you were in timeout or something.
I was definitely in timeout.
You put yourself in timeout. Yeah, it's going to be one of those games.
Timeout.
I think it's
really like, oh, did it?
We're not gonna...
Did I do that?
You fell.
I fell backwards in the seat. I felt so awful.
That was funny. But no, I think it's going to be one of those.
That's what this is going to be, right?
Here's the thing. The team's going to come in excited. They're going to have fun. The backups are going to, you know, play for what they can play. And that's going to make this even better because this is a team mentality. This whole season has been that way. And what better way to cap it off than to have the rest of the team get the final win to make the 14-2 the best record in the history of the New Orleans Saints?
That would be pretty badass. When you say it like that, it sounds pretty good.
It's yeah.
Look, I definitely want the 14-2 record. I mean, just as a fan, you know, I want the best record in team history. Obviously, I want a Super Bowl. But so you have to do what's right for the team going forward. We will rest people. There's a couple of records that can be broken, or not broken, but, you know, Breeze needs 8 yards to hit 4,000, which will mean, you know, he hit 4,000.
Right, like 14 straight year.
Right.
You got Michael Thomas a few yards away from Joe Horns.
Right, to break his record. So I think they stay in until they get those records. We all know Sean Payton. He's cognitive of you know, what people need and to get records. So they'll stay in. And again, you can only rest so many people. You know, you can only rest. You only have a 46-man roster.
Yeah. I mean,
you know, it's not like you can bring a whole new team. It's not college.
Which is good.
You can put a whole new team out there.
For the people who do want to see what Terry Bridgewater can bring to the table, you don't want it to be him and a bunch of backups because that's not a good indication.
But that's what it's going to be for majority of the game. Like, even if the starters play, they might play for the first quarter, and then that's it.
Okay, so then
I don't think Ramchek plays.
But if he gets a lot of pressure and therefore as a result doesn't play as well, then you can't say, "Oh, let him go."
No. I get what you're saying. No, it won't necessarily be an indictment of him.
Right, right.
But also, it's nice that Carolina will be on their third string quarterback, Terry Allen. I think
they have every reason to lose, except for their coach, like Riverboat Ron, could get fired.
Right.
Oh, so, but he's Riverboat Ron. Oh.
Yeah, there's talk that he could go down too. And look, I mean, they have nothing to play for other than a draft pick at this point.
Right. They don't care. I mean, out of the two teams, even though we're locked in, we can't, you know, not win or loss doesn't hurt our playoff seeding.
Their only motivation is to beat us because we've beaten them so many times in a row.
At this point in the season, I think they're loading up the U-Haul. They just want to get the game over with and get out of there.
Wow, wow, wow.
Well, I hope so because that'll just make it even that much more fun.
Yeah.
All right, you got some score predictions? Right.
I'll go 28-13.
I think I'm a little closer. I'll go 24-21.
Oof.
Yeah. I think because of the unknown quantity of the offense, I'll be conservative with 24 points. But I think that the defense is going to be licking their chops and pitch a shutout. I'm going to go 0, 24-0.
That would be fantastic.
And this is the game. If they're going to do it, it's got to happen here when you've got the third-string quarterback and Riverboat Ron has pretty much turned all his chips in.
And look, guys, at this point, if guys are going to get playing time, they're fighting for future jobs. Like, they're going to play hard.
Yep. So I also think that we're going to see a lot of interceptions. I think we're going to get at least 3.
I hope. I'd like to get a pick 6. That'd be fun.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so 31-0. I forgot about the defensive touchdown. All right. Let's get into final thoughts. Jason.
All right. My only final thought is, I know I'm doing the Marvel rewatch now, so I watched Iron Man last week, and it's just interesting to watch, you know, like, looking back, obviously the movie was a success, but going back, you know, they had Favreau as a director, they hired Robert Downey, who was a talented actor, but had his issues. They only paid him $500,000 for the movie. They took out a giant loan. They paid a lot for the movie. Everything was riding on this. If this movie fails, there is no MCU that we know today. And looking back, the movie was a success. And I think pretty much every movie Favreau is credited as like an executive producer, but a lot of the MCU that we know, the credit has to go to Favreau, because if his movie fails, there's nothing. And his movie was a success. And it's also crazy to go back and watch.
So you mean when,
you know, he's fighting Afghans and he's fighting Jeff Bridges, and now it's aliens. So it's crazy that they've been able to spin that into where we are now, as expanded as it is. But it all goes back to that, to that first movie. And if that movie did not work, then there would be nothing. So shout out to Jon Favreau.
Okay, thanks for throwing a shout out in your final thought. Damon, do you have any final thoughts?
Look, you know, you hear, you read all the Saints having, you know, haven't been playing, been as dominant the last four games as they were before. But you look, in those four games, we're 3-1. You're a good team if you're winning 80% of your games when you're not at your absolute best. So everyone relax, calm down about going into the playoffs and not being as dominant, you know, as we were for a period there. Again, we're still winning 80% of the game, not hitting on all cylinders. Remember 2009, we lost the last three games. And, oh, no team's ever lost the last three games and won a Super Bowl. Well, that didn't mean crap that we came out and spanked Arizona. I'm looking for that to happen again. God help that first team that we play in the divisional round. I think we will definitely be hitting on all cylinders and have a game plan.
Especially if everybody gets healthy.
I mean, Teron Armstead, that's the biggest question going forward. Teron Armstead.
100%.
Mm-hmm. All right, and that's a good way to look at it. You can't ask for a better situation for this team. I mean, if you're still a little concerned, then what the hell are you waiting for? What's
going to be? Because we can do. We can't get any better than this.
Nothing. Yeah, I mean. Then
he's already pulled over. He can't pull over any further. Do you Super Trooper fans know what I'm talking about?
There you go. So there's your positive outlook on the playoff picture. We're going to have a little bit more for you, obviously, in next week's show. Which is also probably going to be a little late, maybe, or at least we're going to record late because of
New Year. New Year's Day, that's fine.
Yeah, depends on when Jason gets edited. But for now, that's all with the show we have for you. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and telling all of your friends about the Dover Toe Podcast. You can like us on Facebook, you can follow us on Twitter at Dover Toe PCast, or you can follow us on Instagram, or you can do all three. And if you don't listen to us on your podcast app, is the old-fashioned way of listening to our show, Dover Toe Podcast.
There I come.
Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, 2018 donkeys.
Good night, Hoodat Nation.
Touchdown, look at that scoreboard. We on fire, now we ready to roll. Now we ready to roll. One time for the Hoodat Nation, because you know we bleed black and gold. All the fans in the stands want to dance, because they feel it all in their soul. Throw your hands in the air, don't matter if you're young or old. Let me hear you holler. Who Dat Nation to stand up and make some noise. I got a few questions I want to ask y'all. Let's go.